Father God, we love you. And there's a number of things happening today. This farewell sermon and the Pettits going on adoption leave. Different things in the lives of different ones of us here. Some that we know about, some that we don't. But the thing that we need most, the thing that we desire most, is your presence, is your word, and is that you would be glorified. So I ask, come Holy Spirit, and have your way in us in this time, that we would leave this place knowing you more, and more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just get my phone out, so maybe for the first time ever, I might actually preach to time. You never know. You never know. Didn't work for the early service, sorry. thank you. This is a funny one, in a way, this preach today. Some of you, I'm looking around and seeing there's some people who I know are here for the very first time, so this might feel slightly surreal for you, but others of you have been here long before I arrived. And today's significant. It might break me out of my normal, reserved, controlled emotions, those of you that know me. And when I've been thinking and kind of thinking, what do I say on this farewell sermon? Now, it's slightly strange because actually we're saying goodbye now, but then the Pettits are on adoption leave, Malcolm goes to a conference, and then there's holidays. So actually, I'm going to be leading and preaching pretty much every Sunday until the 19th of August. So you're going to see quite a lot of me. But there we go. But this is my last, in a sense, this is my last, well, my farewell one. There we go. Let's do that. And it's been quite emotional. I've had a little look the last week. I got out my folder of stuff from St. Mary's since I arrived. And one of the things in there was the APCM report from the year 2010 to 2011, which happened in the March just before we arrived in the June. And APCM reports don't normally touch your heart and get you emotional, but this one did. And partly, Anna said, there were pictures on the front of some of the young people here when they were very, very young, like Aaron and Jonathan Davis, Alex Lambden, a number of people. There's Malcolm's little vicar's note on the year saying one of the biggest things that happened for us this year was the birth of Joshua. And then there's this little note, you know, Hugh Taylor moving from curate to being associate minister. And this little note, Sam Pollard's going to arrive in 2011. Please pray, who knows what's going to happen. And it was quite emotional having a look at that. And thinking what's happened over these past years. And what I want to do in this talk is, I'm going to take some time to say thank you. In a moment, I want to share a little bit of the journey that we've been on that's led to this decision for us to move on, a bit of what we're going to. And then I want to leave you with, I guess what would be a bit of my parting, let's call it parting encouragement rather than challenge, because that's a bit nice, isn't it, for today. But it's interesting trying to choose and pray what passage to read from. And there's times when you read the Bible and you find your voice in it. And those are incredibly powerful times. There are also times you have to be slightly careful, because if you think you found your voice in Scripture, sometimes you miss what Scripture's actually saying. You read in what you want to say. But this passage, these words from Paul, they give me something of my voice, of what I want to say today. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. This is the church that he planted. Read in Acts 16. It's one of the longest narratives we have, actually, stories of when he planted a church. And it's one of the first churches he planted where it started outside of the synagogue. There were no Jews from that town that went with him. And it started with a pagan called Lydia, a merchant down by the, aren't they all? No. Down by the river, and then he got arrested in his time there, and God moved amazingly and ended up converting the jailer, and his whole family came to faith. And then this is a really interesting letter, because it's one of the only epistles where Paul doesn't really have a correction for the church. A lot of them he does. I mean, especially in Galatians. Why don't you go the whole way and castrate yourselves? He says at one point there. If you think the Bible's boring, read some of those verses. But in this one, he's just encouraging and he's just filled with joy. And he's saying, look, you are so good. You have run so well and there's so much more. And so when I read this, this for me, it gives me something of my voice. The difference is Paul has been kind of day in, day out with that church. And now it's a few years on and he's actually in prison somewhere else. And he's writing back to them, remembering fondly, circumstances have changed. Our circumstances are about to change. We've walked day in, day out with you for over 7 years now. And that's going to change. But thankfully, not knowingly anyway, we're not off to prison. We're not going into that scenario, but we are going, to a brownfield dumping site that's going to become a beautiful town. But our circumstances are changing, and now I find something in Paul's words that are things that I want to say to you. One thing I want to do quickly. Matt, have you got that picture? Could you just pop it up? Because I'll forget to do this if I don't do it quickly now. But we've been saying, just a brief note on what we're doing. So if you go pretty much directly south from here, this is where you hit the River Thames. And if you can see the orange orange kind of outline, that's the development we're going to. Now, it's called Barking Riverside. It's the site of the old Barking Power Station. Used to be the largest power station in Europe. There you go. Opened by King George, the whatever he was. And now it's been defunct since 1980. And that's been a brownfield site, dumping ground. It's had some, what do you call it, where you put the rubbish? The landfill. It's been landfill. It's a beautiful place to be. But they're going to build 10,800 homes on there. Finishing in 2034, something like that, they're aiming for. This little corner here, I haven't got a pointer. This little corner there has already been built. It's probably about 1,000 homes maybe with a community center. And there's a multi-faith worship space in there, which we're going to be able to use partly for what we're doing. But we are tasked to go there and plant a church for that community. But a church that will not just be one church, but will, by the grace of God, raise up leaders, multiply and plant churches east down the river, out into the rest of Essex. So I have said to Paul Harcourt and the bishop, who are the ones kind of overseeing the applications, I did point out to them, do you know, the only thing I've ever planted was an evening service that then finished a couple of years later. are you sure? But unexpectedly, we're sure that this is what God is calling us to do. It feels tailor-made for us together and totally beyond us. And I'll tell you a bit more about that journey in a moment. But first, I want to start with the words that Paul says here. These are words that are in my heart today. From verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. If there's only one thing I could say this morning, it would be that. I thank my God every time I remember you. And in all my prayers for you, and I do pray for you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Saying in the early service, I remember we came down here and we arrived back in May 2011, I think it was, and we'd never heard of Loughton before. Didn't know where that was. We heard that The Only Way is Essex was filmed there, watched an episode of that, nearly handed in our resignation before we arrived. We thought, okay, Lord, if you're going to call us to a place like that, go for it. But I remember we arrived and we went into a house, rented house on the drive, and I remember going in the May before we... I got ordained in June, and the first thing that greeted us was a kind of a sideboard in the kitchen full of hampers of food and money for us to go out for dinner and just love. And what we've experienced day in, day out in over 7 years here is love. You have loved us so well, it has humbled us time and time again. And we arrived as a fresh-faced, beautiful, some might say, young couple, maybe not. saw Greg shaking his head, thanks, mate. Love. we arrived as, a young married couple, fresh out of vicar school, hadn't really led anything before, and we're leaving now a family of four, a bit longer in the tooth, hopefully a bit more mature, a bit more experienced. And like Anna said, we're leaving to do something that feels beyond us, but somehow we feel ready. And so much of that is down to you. You've loved us. You've supported us. Supported us through change. And I think back to, you know, one of the things was leading the sabbatical, when Malcolm and Caroline went on sabbatical and led for 3 months. And there wasn't a sense of like, you know, what's going to happen with this young whippersnapper, whatever. I like to think of myself as young still, but it's getting harder to. But what we experienced then was just a rallying round of the church here. And we've seen it at every moment. You know, there's been different things we've done, whether it was, you know, starting leading at Alpha and then trying to expand that. And when we shifted, did a big transition of home groups to life groups, that was a big change. When I oversaw for a while that some of the transition of Ignite after Luke had gone and then Kizzy had gone, and we had a transition period not too dissimilar to where we're at now. And there's been a number of things that we've done and kind of have overseen and been part of. But every time that we've tried to do something new, that we've felt like there's something that needs to happen, what's happened is that we've had a church family. It's been such a privilege to lead, because it's felt like it's not really leading so much as keeping up. So much as just getting to be the person who has the privilege of being something of a focal point for the passion and the desire for the gospel and the love that is already in this church family. And so when we've come up with something new, often new things have sprung up from amongst the church family, not from paid members of staff. And when we have come up with something new and an idea, it's been shaped. There's been a kind of a sense of, we're with you in this. We want to go with this. We're going to ask you sensible questions to try and hone this and not just blindly say, yeah, whatever, we'll give a bit of time. But because we're invested in this together, and then we've gone for it. The very first weekend we were here, the very first Saturday of my employment here, was the first Love Loughton that we did. And it was incredible just seeing the high road flooded by this church. And I remember thinking before coming down, trying to work out, how big is this church? Because the number of ministries going on, the heart to reach out, the amount of even just finance given, energy given, passion given, lives given, looks like it should belong to a church that is 800, 900 people. And yet this is just our church with an incredibly big heart and a love for one another, a love for the gospel. And you've been with us. And then this last 3 years, following Curacy, staying on part-time, having children, to be honest, have been some of the most challenging 3 years of my life. I never realized some of the brokenness that was in me until I became a dad and was juggling 3 jobs and all of that stuff. And what I found here is a church family who have loved us when we're doing really well and have loved us perhaps even more when we found it hard and we struggled. This has been our support. And so the fact that we can even contemplate now moving with a 3-year-old, a 4-week-old, almost onto a brand new development and starting a new church without anything around, that is because you have invested in us. And so I want to say thank you to you. And I do want to say as well, it was such a joy. Where is she? Charlotte. It's such a joy seeing you leading worship today. Because I think, the couple of times I've heard you now, I've been amazingly impressed, because it's not just that you've got a good voice and you can play guitar, but there's a maturity in the way that you lead, which is incredible to see. And I want to say, in one of the, perhaps the best thing that I've done, like the biggest privilege I've had, has been in the last year or so, where we led Stepping Up and then this discipleship group for some of our young people. And I was saying this, we had the last one we're going to be at was on Wednesday. Because there are young people in this church family who have such a love for Jesus, of working out what it looks like to walk that kind of at their stage and with their peers, and there's such leadership on them. And the thing that excites me is knowing that this is going to be a church family that will release young people to be fully who they're made to be. Some of the leaders of the future are amongst that group, and it's been such a joy. I could spend the whole time just doing thank you, but I'll say a bit more maybe at lunch, unless you're bored of me by then. But there's the thank yous, and then Paul goes on to say in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And what I want to say is this, all the things that we've seen happen has come because we've loved one another, because we've served together, because we've been united, because we've given ourselves to Jesus. But do you know what? All the glory goes to him, because it's been his work. None of us here, you on your own, couldn't have helped me and Anna grow into who we are today. We couldn't have invested in your lives in any way apart from the glory of God. There's people in here who did not know Jesus 7 years ago, but now are passionately following him. I remember there's been testimonies of physical healings that have happened here, of relationships restored, of people moving into new ministries. I look around the room and I can see people, you think back 7 years, you weren't doing what you were doing. But now you're pursuing Jesus in a way that you couldn't have before. And that is the work of God amongst us. And the incredible thing is this, that this is kind of like for us, we're now moving to a different leg of the journey. But here, God is still working and moving. So I want to say thank you for the past 7 and a bit years, but please do not stop. Keep on going. There's so much more that God wants to do here. And that vision that he's given us for every person, every place, saturated with God, it's not just a catchphrase, it's not a pipe dream. That's something God birthed in us as a promise of what he's going to do in us. And he is going to do it as we keep pursuing him. So please keep going. And one of the things that makes it difficult to leave is because I have such a sense that there's this kind of tipping point. There's a shift that is coming. And I know this isn't the first time you've heard this from me over 7 years. I know that. But God is moving. And I'm so excited to see what's about to come. And so it makes it difficult to go. And that's why I want to share just a little bit on the journey that we've had. You see, Paul goes on to say, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's writing from prison, having been willing to suffer for the gospel and to see that church family grow. I'm not writing from prison. We're going into a challenge, but it's an exciting one as well as a daunting one. But I echo those words that one of the things that makes it sad to leave and difficult to go is because we have you in our hearts as we go from here. And because we've experienced partaking in the grace of God while we've been defending the gospel. Paul was talking about being side by side, defending the gospel together. And now he's saying, in my chains, apart from you, we remain partakers in the same gospel. It's the same God that's working in us and in you when we've been together for 7 years and now as things shift. It's the same God that's at work and we carry you in our hearts. And I thought that I would never actually give this sermon. I genuinely thought, and maybe some of you think I'm naive for this, but we've had a sense since we even very first arrived that this was for long term. Now we were here, I remember the first, when we arrived that first summer, went to New Wine, and there were a whole load of talks about, and someone speaking about what's at the heart of some churches that have been really fruitful over a long period of time. Like, think of Hillsong's in Sydney, or Holy Trinity Brompton, Bethel in California. And it's saying right at the heart of those churches, you've had a core team and family who have been together for decades, for 20, 30 years. Nikki Gumbel was curate for 19 years at Holy Trinity. And it, you know, there's something in us that was saying, that feels like what God's calling us to here. Maybe I'll be curate for 19 years. Who knows? Thank God it didn't happen, because then we wouldn't have had Lydia. but we've had this sense of long term. That's partly why when curacy finished, we stayed on, because we felt like we're here long term. We're here for decades. And the way that we've knitted together with you as a family, the way that we've connected, especially with Malcolm and Caroline, it's felt like this has been more. He's been more than an incumbent. It's been a friend and a brother and a father in God. This has been more than that. And so we thought we were here for a long, long time. And And then over some of the journey that's happened for us, what shifted really was over the last summer, we started having a number of words and things from some people we asked to pray, others we didn't ask, but they're very welcome to. And began to give words, a sense of God saying, look, a change is coming where you're going to begin to be leading together and from what's felt like a season of being stretched into a season of fruitfulness and growth. We thought that's brilliant because what we've been planning and even talking initial conversation with Malcolm about was post Hope Center, post those things, we're going to start getting more involved in St. Mary's. We're potentially going to come more in, give more time here, give up some of the other roles. We're starting to think of coming in more. And then at the same time, Anna's work began to have a restructure. And it looked like, wow, that restructure looks like it's about to result in the kind of role we've been praying that Anna would have there for the past 6 and a bit years at that point. We're like, this is amazing. It's all getting set up for us to stay for a new season of growth at St. Mary's. And then in that time, Paul Harcourt at All Saints mentioned this Barking Riverside church plant and said to me, I know you'll probably say no, but I feel like we need to mention it to you because this might be for you. And I said to him, yeah, well, we probably will say no, but I'll think about it. So I had a conversation with Malcolm a day or so later and said, look, there's this thing, 95% sure we're not going to do it, but we need to talk about it. We're going to explore it. I'd like to explore it with you. So please ask difficult questions. Please pray. Let's journey this together. And we began a journey then of finding out more about the role of talking to people that we trust, of praying with people, of asking God ourselves and weighing up the things we felt he was saying. And what began to happen, there was a moment in the November sitting in a staff meeting down at All Saints because of my role with WTC, and they began to describe the vision for this. That this wasn't just about being a church for one local community, but about being a church that raises up leaders and sends them out to multiply churches. And there's this kind of speaking about the vision of it. And I remember thinking in my head, well, that sounds exciting, but it's definitely not for us because we're called here. But something in my heart was beating. And there was that kind of sense. Do you know that sense in your gut when you just feel like God's saying, this is for you? And everything in my head screaming, no, it's not. You're wrong, God. But we'll explore it. So we began to explore it more. And then essentially what happened, different words from people, different ways that God was leading. Every time we felt like we needed to take a step forward towards that church plant, a door closed at Anna's work. Which was strange because she had a lot of favor there. Had been invited by the head of the department to be part of a team that was looking at how the restructure would be shaped. She was one of the last people anyone would expect to not be employed by the end of the restructure. But every time we felt like God was saying, take a step forward, he closed the door. And then we took another one and he closed another door until there was one point we were just about to say the final yes. I think this is in February now, at a meeting that was happening. We're just about to say the final yes in the next week to the church plant. And we were sitting with Malcolm and Caroline in their living room. And Anna was going to hear from this last job where she'd been asked to apply for it. I'm going to hear about it. And she said, like, if I don't get this, we know it's God. It's one of those moments. And went in and we decided we were going to say yes to the role. She then found out didn't have that job. We said yes to the role. I think, I can't remember what day it was, Monday or Tuesday of the next week. And then I remember saying, like, we were saying, thank you, God, for making it clear. But that was a rough ride. It would have been so much nicer and more honoring if Anna could have chosen to go. Because of call. After we had that meeting and said yes to the church plan, the next day that Anna was in work, her boss turned around and said, I know that job, we've slightly shifted it, we'd like to offer it to you. And she was able to say, no thanks, I'm called to something else. And that felt like such a grace of God, saying, look, we've got you. I've got you. And so we're moving into something which is tailor-made because it brings together. Me and Anna have both had such a passion to see for how the church of God as a movement of people alive in him shapes every part of society. We're not a ghetto in the corner. We're called to bring the kingdom of God in every place. And it makes a difference. in our families, in our workplaces, in the media, in education, in healthcare. The kingdom of God makes a difference. And we've been called to that, and I felt called into the church to release people into that, and Anna has felt called into the world to kind of, as part of the church, to start doing it. And we've not really known how we'd do it together. And now this church plant feels tailor-made because the mandate is to raise up leaders who will go out and multiply in different sectors and multiply churches, but going into a new community at a stage where actually part of our mandate is going to be as the church shaping that community. And it feels like we're called, we've got the privilege of ministering together in a way that is incredibly, is a gift I didn't think we'd have. And you know, and also one of our biggest challenges is, especially for Anna, how do you work with this guy? But we're moving on with a sense that God's calling, carrying you in our hearts, so grateful for the last 7 years. And also we're moving on, and this is where I'm shifting a little bit into challenge, because this is not a very sensible decision by us from normal standards. It's not actually a very sensible decision. It's not sensible for a number of reasons. We've just had a baby. On Monday, she'll be 4 weeks old. And we have a 3-year-old who's incredibly settled here. This is not the time when you then move house, leave your church, and try to start a new one in a community that you don't know. God has provided miraculously for us to buy a house in Loughton. How does that happen for people in their early 30s who've never really had a real job? Well, Anna has. I haven't. Yeah, God's provided, but we're going to move away from that. I am not fully healed. I shared just a moment ago, the last 3 years since becoming a dad has been some of the hardest. And if I'm really honest with you, I'm dealing with some issues at the moment, particularly around anger. And I'm going through counseling at the moment, just begun kind of a couple of months ago. And this is my support base. This is my family. I'm not fully healed yet to go and do this. And then you have the challenging one. We don't have to go to do this to do something that is actually still good for God. If we stayed here and continued to minister here, continue to be part of this family here, we'd still be doing good things for God. It's not a sensible decision. But, not to mention, did I mention it's a brownfield site? It's not Epping Forest, tell you that. But here's the thing. It's not a sensible decision, but we found it's not a decision at all. Because a number of years ago, we made a more important decision to commit everything that we are to God. And we said to Jesus, I've talked about it before, you know, one particular time at New Wine, we sat down, we wrote everything on a piece of paper, everything that we had, and we signed it, literally signed it over like a contract to God, saying, wherever you call us, whatever it costs, we will go. And then what we did is that we have, not perfectly, very imperfectly, but proactively tried to keep asking God, where are you calling us? Keep listening. Keep discerning it with those around us. And keep saying, what are you saying, God? Are you definitely saying what we thought you were? Where are you calling? And so now that we're at a point where, to be honest, I'll tell you this, we will never, ever, ever, I don't think, ever be 100% sure that God has said this. Because to be 100% sure that God said something means all the choice has gone. Because you just have to, don't you? If God came and writes something in the sky and changes your heart and changes your mind for you, you've got no choice but to go. It's not done from love. So we're not 100% sure. We weren't 100% sure when we got married, were we, darling? We definitely weren't 100% sure that we were ready for kids. We weren't 100% sure about coming to here. But you get to the point where you feel like you've heard enough that you know that you can't not go. That is the point where you move. And Paul goes on to say here, he says, my prayer for you is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. My prayer for you is that love here, I think the love Paul's talking about isn't sentiment. It's a choice. It's that choice to devote everything to Jesus. And I know that you are a church family who love him, who love him so much. And when you love him, that means you have made a choice to commit everything you have and all that you are to go with him and to follow him, no matter what it costs, wherever he calls. And I know that this church family have made that decision. And then my challenge for you is this. Don't just make that decision in the past, but are you proactively listening to what he is saying? Are you seeking his call? You might sit and say, but Sam, I've been doing the same thing for the last decade and I know I'm going to do the same thing for the next. That's what I thought. I thought we were here for decades. You might say, but Sam, I'm not healed up yet. Look at me. You should have seen what I was like yesterday. The patience and grace of my wife. We're not healed up yet. But Sam, all my support is here. Yeah, I know that one. But Sam, this will actually be costly also for my family and my kids. I know. Have you seen how Leo didn't want to stand with us because he just wants to run around here? This is his family. But we're going to move him. But Sam, it's downward mobility. I'm in Loughton. I've made it. This is where you move to. Yeah. Welcome to the gospel. But Sam, I've never done that before. Me neither. Don't know how it works. The only thing that matters is this. Is he calling you? And what I want to say is, as I look forward to what I think God's doing here, I really believe that, and we've spoken about this as leadership and with Malcolm and Caroline, and there's a sense that there is a shift of kind of emphasis coming for this place. And some of that shift, you could talk about it as a shift from focusing primarily on addition to multiplication. Primarily on growing this place, getting more people in or adding to what we've already got, to actually multiplying and giving away what we have. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a church plant down the line for you guys from here. And then the other shift, have you noticed, it struck me for the first few years here, one of the things we prayed a lot was, God, would you do something amongst our young people that would shape the rest of the church? Would you do something first then? Because there's no junior Holy Spirit. So we want to see something happen there. We've prayed that quite a lot. And I wonder if you've noticed what's happening. Some of the shift that's happening in Ignite and that we've been talking about in the past months, where it's moving away from being the paid worker right at the center and then volunteers coming and helping, to actually the shift that God's been doing is that ministry is going to function from the church family, from us, from you guys, stepping up and saying, this is what God's doing, this is where he's calling me, we're involved. And the paid work is actually, the role of paid leaders is to equip the church to do what God's putting in our hearts to do. And I just wonder if that shift is a shift that's going to be happening for the whole church. It's begun there and it's actually coming for all of us. And that the growth that we're going to see, the transformation that we're going to see, the fulfillment of that vision that we're going to see is going to happen as actually, have you noticed that the staff team seems to be getting stripped back a little bit? It wasn't long. Jordan left at the same time as we were first having this sense of, man, we think we might actually go and do this. But we can't do that. Jordan's just gone. Have you noticed how the staff team is, man, don't worry, but it feels like God is providing and he is going to provide the right people. But I believe one of the things he's doing is he's creating space because there's a move of God that is going to be initiating, is going to be drawing out what is in you. And that is the future of this church. And not just joining in with things that are initiated by staff team here, but actually it coming up from you and come to Malcolm, come to Lydia and say, look, we're not doing this. This is in my heart. I've got no experience. Don't think it's for me really, but I just can't shake it. But can we please do something about this issue? Can we please reach these people? Can this please happen? Can you please help with this? I feel like this is coming on. Those are the things that I believe that is how God is going to be leading this church forward. Now, I'm about to go, so take or leave what I say, but That is what I would see happening. And I've told Malcolm, no, Malcolm knows I was going to say this. So, but it's going to happen, and that's going to require every single person in this family saying, do you know what? No matter how settled or the place I feel I am or how imperfect I feel or unhealed I feel or unprepared I feel, I'm going to actively listen to you, God, and say, what are you calling me to? Whatever it costs. Discern it and then be prepared to jump. Now, I don't think there's lots of people who are going to be called away from here like we are. That wouldn't be a nice gift to Malcolm, would it, to do that as a farewell sermon? But I believe that God is wanting to do things here so much more than can ever be dreamed up by a staff team. And I'm excited to see it. And so the way that I extended the reading slightly to a couple of verses where just I wanted to get in the bit where Paul says, I want to assure you that all that is happening is serving to advance the gospel. Because the thing I want to end on is this. The only thing that matters isn't being the best church ever. You know, being the greatest vicar in the world. Or all of those things. The only thing that really matters is that Jesus is glorified. That people hear the gospel. Because that is eternal salvation. Everything else disappears. And that we are ready. And Paul's prayer goes on to say that you would be filled with fruits of righteousness and pure and blameless on the day of Christ Jesus. We're talking right now about a journey. We're about to move on about 7 years. But you know, the thing we're really living for is that day when we see him face to face. And when we're going to be with him for eternity. So my plea is that we would give ourselves wholly to him. That we would be with him for eternity. That he would do everything he wants to do in us here, now. And I'm so looking forward to the fact that, you know, one of the big things in making this decision was when we felt like God was saying, it's not the end of your partnership here, it's an extension of it. You're going to still see us. We're just 20 minutes away. We're going to keep regularly meeting up with Malcolm and Caroline and the Pettits and others of you. And we'll pop up from time to time, and maybe you'll come down and do stuff with us when we have a church, if we have anyone. Might just be the four of us. Maybe we need to have more babies. But I so look forward to seeing what happens in the next 7 years, the next 10 years. And I'm so thankful for the way that you've walked with us over the time we've been here. So let's pray just briefly. Father God, there's a lot of love in the room. There's a lot of thanks for one another. And that is so genuine. That's so heartfelt. But I'm sure that all of us together want to say above all, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we know you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to set us free. That you rose again to give us new life. That you sent your Holy Spirit that we could know you. And thank you, Jesus, for the way we've journeyed as a family together. And thank you, Jesus, that there are so many beyond these walls who you are calling home, who don't know you yet, but you want to hear your gospel. And you, in your crazy, beautiful wisdom and grace, have decided to use us as your mouthpiece. So I pray, Lord God, that you would bless this church family and you would use this church to share your gospel, that many would come to know you in the days and weeks and years to come. We love you, Lord. Amen.